For our scripture reading, we turn to Romans chapter 8. The text we consider is verse 25 that speaks of us hoping for that we see not, and with patience waiting for it. We read, starting at verse 1, we'll read the first 32 verses of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we also groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So far we read from the scriptures tonight. And again, the text we consider is verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this text speaks to us about hope and about patience. It speaks of us hoping for what we do not see. And it says, if we hope for that we see not, and we do, then do we with patience wait for it. With patience. There are a number of places where we see that connection between hope and patience. In the beginning, toward the beginning of the first epistle to the Thessalonians, Paul, inspired by the Spirit, writes, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience of hope. The passage we consider tonight speaks of that. We hope for that we see not. The present time is, one of the things in this present time is sufferings. A few verses before the text, it speaks of the sufferings of this present time. And we do think of the sufferings in this life from a number of different points of view. Sufferings of sorrows of having someone whom we love die, which a number have. Or having someone afflicted. Perhaps someone was afflicted there this whole year. We have various bodily afflictions in this life. And as we grow older, we get weaker. The difficulty of being alone And that's a difficulty, especially that there's been a lot that we've talked about. Understand there's some saints that this is has been a very difficult year from that point of view of being alone, longing for fellowship, thankful for the means that we have today to be able to communicate, and yet missing the closer communication with brothers and sisters in Christ. We think also of the persecution. We think of the fact that those who are children of God, as is spoken of in this text, they're hated by those of this world. To be carnally minded is death. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And we think of the violence and the hatred that is so evident today. Hatred, anger, violence. We think of what it was like before the flood, what the scriptures tell us about it. We see signs of Christ coming. And we think of what's happening in churches. And we think of the apostasy that also Scripture speaks about. We think of the signs of the coming of our Lord and the sufferings of this present time. And the Word of God in this chapter is, as Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." There's things we do not see. We hope for that we see not. Verse 24 says, "Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" But if we hope for that we see not, and we think of how the scriptures speak to us about things that we do not see, we read of what God has promised us, and we confess the truth concerning what will happen when our Lord returns. We confess the truth about the coming of Christ, the final judgment, life everlasting. We hope for that we see not. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Being patient. We often say that to children. You need to be patient. We see how quickly children can complain. And then we also look at ourselves. Be patient. If we hope for that we see not, if we look at the things that are unseen, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? We know what God has told us is true. We know our God is faithful. We trust in Him. We look forward to our Lord's return, and we look to Him for the grace we need as we go forward in another year. We consider this text under the theme, hoping for what we see not. We consider, first of all, the not seen, secondly, the hope, and thirdly, the patience. We hope for that we see not. Well, we recognize we don't see Christ. In a sense, we don't see him. He's not here. Christ is also with us. We say that too. But when we think of the visible bodily coming of Christ, that's still in the future. We look forward to that. And we know he's coming. We have not seen him, but we know, we have no doubt that he is coming. We think of what God has prepared for us. You think of that comforting verse, "Eye hath not seen." As it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You know, we quote that verse in the Heidelberg Catechism when we talk about life everlasting. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? That since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life I shall inherit perfect salvation, which, and then's the quote, which I have not seen. Nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive. And that, to praise God therein forever. The context speaks of our adoption. It says, we groan within ourselves waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, the adoption. Now, when we think of that term, adoption, we think of the fact that God chose us. You think of a child that's adopted, chosen. When we think of God adopting us, we think of the fact that he has chosen us unconditionally. He didn't choose us because he saw that there was something about us that was good. And he thought, oh, I see that. I like that. And that was the reason. Some good in us was the reason why he chose us. We know that was not the case. It wasn't based on any good in us. It wasn't based on something foreseen that he foresaw that we would believe. It wasn't based on foreseen faith. The good pleasure of God. He chose us. You think of being adopted. You think of hearing that news. God chose you. You think of the multitude. And when we think of what's going on in the world and we see the wickedness of this world, the multitudes in darkness, and then to hear, God chose you. He's redeemed you. He sent Christ to die for you. You are one of those that were given to Christ, and he laid down his life for his sheep. That we might have the right to become children of God, to be quickened, raised from the dead. He purchased for us the blessings of salvation. And he has given us the Spirit who works in us that we are conscious of his love for us. So it's not only somebody telling you, you know, you're one of God's chosen people, but it's the Spirit working inside us, assuring us of God's love. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. You know, we've talked about how God infuses into us faith, obedience, and a consciousness of his love. When the canons talk about that, it makes a reference to Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. God infuses into us a consciousness of his love. And to think of the fact that God does that in you. Does God do that in all human beings? Does God love all human beings? God infuses into you a consciousness of the fact that he loves you. Comforts you with the truth that Christ died for you. The Spirit we have received is called the Spirit of adoption. We read that in verse 15. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, an intimate term for Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And yet, there's a future adoption. We're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. And we think of, when talking about what we do not yet see, 1 John 3, verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So there again, it talks about hope. And it talks about, it does not yet appear what we shall be. In this life, we have many afflictions. We have many trials that we go through. And it can seem, we can see the wicked in their violence, in their cheating, in their lying. We know the day of our Lord's return is coming. We know there's judgment also in this life. Well, we recognize that on the one hand, it's true, we're children of God. all things work together for our good. To those that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And yet what we see are difficulties and sufferings, and trials, and sometimes God's people even say things like Jacob said, all these things are against me. And yet we know that this is the truth. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In this life there will be suffering. There will be afflictions. There is work that the Lord has for us to do. And as we do that work, we will be persecuted. When we think of the signs of Christ coming, we remember a sign of Christ coming is the gospel going forth to the nations. And when we think of that, we think of the calling of the church to bring the word to the nations. And also in our own witnessing. Not only when we go to foreign countries, but also our calling to bear witness to the truth. Well, we know that when we do that, there will be those that will speak against and vehemently against the things that we say. Yet our calling is bring the good news, the gospel of Christ. We know there will be apostasy. There has been and there will be. When we think of the anti-Christian world power and we think of the things that go on in the among the nations of the world, our own country, in other nations. Sometimes we can have our mind on that quite a bit because we hear about it a lot. But we know what God has told us about the signs of his coming. He's told us to think about the things that we do not see. We hope for that we see not. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit, verse 23, we hope for that we see not. What does that mean that we hope? Well, we're familiar with what hoping means. One thing I think we're quite familiar with is that the idea of hope as we use it here, as Scripture speaks of it here, is different from the use of the word hope that we commonly do use to express doubt. When we say, I hope this will be the case, and we express doubt that it will, but we're expressing it's our desire that it will be. We recognize when we're talking about this, hoping for that we see now, when we think of what our hoping for the return of our Lord, well, we are certain this will happen. We don't have any doubts about this. We know that what God says is true. And one who has looked to the Scriptures, has searched the Scriptures, clearly sees that the Scriptures speak of these things. Well, we have the revelation of God in Scripture, and we know that the Scriptures are infallibly inspired. We are certain. So are the hoping for what we see not, and we are certain that we will receive what God has promised. That we will receive the full realization of our salvation. We also understand that hoping has that idea of longing. That when you're hoping, like the idea that we're hoping for Christ's return is something that we're longing for. We're looking forward to. A certain expectation of it and a longing for it. We have the work of the Spirit within us. And one who has that work of the Spirit within him or her longs for heavenly glory. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we who, as we said in the Heidelberg Catechism, we feel in our heart the beginning of eternal joy. Now, it's interesting. It not only says what's going to happen after this life, but that article, when it talks about what we believe, when we say, when we confess that we believe the life everlasting, in addition to talking about after this life, we say, I feel in my heart now the beginning of eternal joy. And we think of what we already have. We have fellowship with God. We have peace with God. We commune, we have a communion with the saints. And yet we also think of the fact that we have such a struggle too. We don't have perfect faith. We don't serve with God with that zeal that we are. We've got a constant battle on our hands. And when we talk about the difficulties of this life, well, there's the ongoing difficulty with the struggle with our sin. Fighting against sin and Satan. We have the beginning. We have a small beginning of the new obedience. A beginning. We long for the full realization of our salvation. We do. And we who have that new beginning, that small beginning, we really do long for this. We groan within ourselves. Verse 23 says, ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Familiar with the fact that the Spirit is said to be the earnest? We who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We groan. We sigh. That kind of language is used also in 2 Corinthians 5, the idea of the groaning. It says, for we know, this is the beginning of 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have that. For in this, we groan, earnestly desiring. And there it connects this idea of groaning with desiring, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And here in Romans 8, it says, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. God tells us this. You know, we might think, you know, in our mind as far as what we're looking forward to in the future in this year, we may have our mind on a lot of earthly things. You know, we do make plans with regard to the future. And rightly so, we make some plans, but we also say, the Lord will. If the Lord will, we will do this. But we do make certain plans with regard to the future. And when we think about the coming year, we may be looking forward to something that we anticipate happening in this year, which may or may not happen. God tells us that we do look at the things that are not seen. That passage I read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2, well, just right before that is where we find that verse about our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. Similar language. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then it goes into that passage, into the verses that I read before. We look at the things that are not seen. Well, we're often thinking about things that we see. But we also say it is really true that we look on things that we think on things that we don't see. We hope for what we see not. By the grace of God, we do. And we who hope for that we see not, if we hope for that we see not, and we do, then do we with patience. Patience, wait for it. The patience of hope. Patience. We need patience. We often talk about that. We need patience. The scriptures tell us that too. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will not tarry. You need patience. And we recognize that that's true. We look to God for that grace. God strengthens us. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we think of in the trials that we go through. We think of our calling to be patient. Patient, wait on the Lord. And when we think of that, we do think of trials we're going through. Things come into our mind, things that we're facing that other people may be aware of or not. And we think of the fact that God does say to us, be patient. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. The trying of our faith works patience, we read. God grants patience. We look to him for that. When we think of being patient, we think of How many times we can see in ourselves that we're not patient like we ought to be. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, with regard to children, you think of how often you talk to them about being patient. Maybe there's something that they want, and they want it right now, and you tell them they need to wait. And then they don't want to wait. You tell them it's not going to be that long. You need to wait. Or maybe it's a wait your turn. It's this person's turn now. Wait your turn. Or you think of when they're suffering and how quickly they can complain. Or sometimes we recognize, and these same things we recognize in ourselves. In the sufferings we go through, in the difficulties we face. God says to us, be patient. James 5, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another. And it's interesting, that word translated grudge is the same word that we considered before translated groan. But there it's talking in verse 2, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. That's interesting. Think of the prophets. Brethren, think of the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Well, now we think of how in verse 25, the text we're looking at, it says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Which brings out the importance of us looking at the things that are not seen. And that in our thoughts, we think about that which is not seen. And we recognize we do that. Not as God. But we do recognize at times that we're having difficulties and that we're murmuring, we're complaining, we're upset about something that's not the way we would want it to be. We recognize there's times when we're not showing being slow to anger. Not being patient like we should be. And we find that, well, God does work in us a sorrow for our sin. And we ask for forgiveness. And we ask others to forgive us. And God, working in us by His Spirit, does work in us to think on what this passage says. If you think of how often we think of how all things work together for good, we think of that so often. We think of how God has determined everything. And whatever we may be going through, we know God has determined all things. We think of the fact that God says that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And we start thinking about that. We start thinking about what's going to happen. We start thinking about what's going to happen when our Lord returns. We think about the fact that in this coming year, we know the Lord will be with us. He will bless us. His grace will be sufficient for us. We know that. We start thinking about the things that God has told us. We meditate on His things, these things. We talk about these things and how beneficial it is for us to talk about these things together and to encourage one another. And how often when our minds turn towards these things, it is that there was someone else who talked to us and started speaking this way. And then we in our thinking are thinking more about these things. We hope for that we see not. But what we know what the Lord has told us. We know our Lord is coming. Then do we with patience wait for it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. May we look to our Lord for the grace we need. Thank Him for the grace He has given, and live to the honor of His name, bearing witness to the truth, showing our thankfulness to Him in all that we do to His glory. Amen. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we are very thankful for the comfort that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, grant us grace. May we be reminded of what Thou hast told us. We know what Thou dost tell us is true. We look forward to the return of our Lord, the redemption of the body. We think of the life that we'll have with Thee, the life to come. We think of the joy that the saints have that are with Thee now, some of whom were very close to us in this life, and now they are with Thee. We think of the joy they have. We think of the joy that we'll have together soon. Grant us Thy grace, that we may be patient, and that we may live to Thy honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.